progress here, addressing quality in the context of big data, the ESNet contribution. Well, it's quite early. I think that probably some people will still come in, but we have to start now. What is presented in this session here is quality issues that were worked on during the ESNet execution time of the ESNet big data. It started in 2016 with several work packages projects on using big data for official statistics. And the quality aspects are now presented here. There are different projects. It's the first one is about experimental statistics in related to ICT, information communication technology. The second one is about AIS data. This is ship position information system. The third one is about multi-source and multi-domain statistics. So what happens when you put statistics or when you generate statistics from different sources. Then the fourth one is again about AIS data, and last but not least, it's about population estimation from mobile phone data. Here it's David Salgado working at the Spanish Statistical Office, not the Romanian Statistical Office. I would like to remind you to switch the mobile phones off during the session. For the speakers, everybody has 12 minutes to speak. You will get a sign, not the yellow card, but already the red card after 10 minutes. And so then I would like to invite the first speaker, Giulio, to start.
Okay, thank you, Albert. Good morning, everyone. In this speech, I will report the results of an evaluation of the quality of experimental statistics that have been produced by making use of one of the most important sources included in the big data sources, that is internet data. Some few words about the reference survey that is considered as a benchmark for these experimental statistics, that is the well-known survey on the use of ICT by enterprises. It is a European Union survey on the ICT usage and e-commerce in enterprises. In Italy, the population of reference includes some 184,000 enterprises in different areas of industry and services. The size of the planned sample is about 32,000 in 2017, and the response rate was about two-thirds. So we have a high non-response rate. The aim of the pilot that we started some years ago alone, but when the ESNet on Big Data started, we collaborated with other partners in this task. The aim of the pilot was to investigate the possibility to replicate the production of a subset of estimates currently produced by the survey, by the ICT survey, and possibly to produce also new estimates using data from the internet instead of from the traditional questionnaire data, and to evaluate and to compare the quality of the different sets of estimates, current ones and new ones. The target estimates that we consider have been web ordering, that is a form of e-commerce, so the rate of enterprises that offer web ordering on their websites, the rate of enterprises that offer job online applications on their websites, and presence in social media that can be measured by links in websites of the enterprises. These estimates should be available not only for the total of the nation, but also for different domains of interest, namely cross-classification by the dimension of the enterprises measured by the number of employees and economic macro sectors, 60 different subdomains, territorial regions, and detailed economic activities. These are the offer of the of the at the dissemination level of the estimates that we produce. What is the current estimator that is used, is being used in order to produce these estimates? It is a well-known design-based model-assisted estimator because the observed values declared by the enterprises while responding to the survey are calibrated by making use of known totals at the population level. So by our business register, we have these known totals that we can calibrate in order also to handle non-response. Each unit is answering not only for themselves, but also for non-responding units by calibrating their weights. What we have done in order to produce these new estimates, making use of internet data? We developed a very complex procedure with different steps. First of all, we tried to retrieve as many as possible addresses of websites of the enterprises in the population reference, and we scraped the content of these websites. We were able to do that for nearly 85,000 units, so covering a large amount of the 133,000 estimated websites in the population of reference. The text that was scraped by these websites was processed first with natural language techniques, natural language processing techniques, in order to understand what were the most important terms that could enable us to predict the values of the target variables. And then in the subset of units for which both text, scribed text from websites and declared values in the survey were available, this could be considered as the ground truth in which we were able to fit models that enable us to predict the values of the target variables for all the 85,000 units we were able to get information from the internet. So this is the situation, a graphical representation of the situation, and you can understand the proportion of the subpopulation that we were able to reach in doing that. What were the alternative estimators that we used? There are two of them. A full model-based estimator, that is the counting of the predicted values for the 85,000 units with text scraped from the websites. But we pseudo-calibrated these values by considering also in this case, the known totals in the business register. This is the first estimator that we have been using. The second one is a more complex one. The combined estimator makes use of both predicted values and observed values in the survey. How? There is a first component that is, again, a counting of predicted values. There is a second one that is an adjustment based on the differences between observed values and predicted values in order to handle prediction errors. And a third one, there is an estimation of the rates of the target variables in the part of the population that we were not able to reach the websites and scrape their content, the subpopulation of which we have no information by making use of internet data. So with this estimator, we can handle the limits, in principle, the limits of the model-based estimator. Okay, this is, I don't want to say that we have produced for all the domain of interest. We have reported the point estimates of the design-based estimator, together with the limits of the confidence interval, and the model-based estimates and combined estimates. Just an highlight at the total level, you can see that we have a 14.98 rate of web ordering calculated with survey data, and 1556 model-based estimate, and 1421 combined estimate. These two last point estimates are inside the confidence interval of the total. And this is true for the majority, for most of the estimates, they lay in the area defined by the confidence interval of the point estimates of the survey, estimates. And this is very important. This is true for web bordering. This is true for presence in social media and also for job online applications. So a first conclusion that can be drawn is that the three sets of estimates are not contradictory. They are compatible, and this is a first important result of the pilot, of the experiment. But the fundamental question is, what set of estimates we could consider as the best one from the point of view of the accuracy that we can obtain by this estimate? And to give an answer to this question, we have the only way to consider the two components of the mean square error, that is a measure of the accuracy, bias and variance of the estimates, is to carry on a simulation study where the different factors that impact of these components of the mean square errors can be taken under control, and at the end we can evaluate the different components and the total mean square error related to the different sets of estimates. The simulation study has been based on the real data of the last round, previous round of the survey, and the data in the population at each iteration are generated according to the distributions that have been observed in the survey, in particular those related to the variables that define the domains of interest. We consider as target variable the web ordering yes-no variable, that is one of the most important in the survey. What are the bias factors that have an impact on the different sets of estimators? We considered for the design-based estimator two of them, the most important: the non-ignorable non-response mechanism, and the most important explicative variable is the dimension of the enterprise, measured by the number of employees, and the presence of response errors that, in case of web ordering, is determined by a tendency to overreport it. We have potential positive bias. For the model based, we consider undercoverage, the two populations, the one reached by web scraping and the one not reached. There is a difference in the behavior of the enterprises, and the prediction capability of the model, measured by the harmonic mean of recall and precision, whose value is about 70% in reality. And simulation has been carried distinctly with respect to two domains, size classes and economic macro sector, and nice two digits categories. We measure the coefficient of variation, the relative bias, and the sum of them is the relative root square mean error, that is the synthetic measure for evaluating the accuracy. This is a distribution of the quality indicators, coefficient of variation, bias, and relative root mean square error for the three different set of estimators, for the first domain and for the second. But it is difficult to understand what is the best by looking at these graphs. A naive indication of the performance of estimators can be measured by the number of times in which their values are the best in each subdomains. And for the best domains, for instance, the blue one is the model-based estimator, you can see that from the point of view of the coefficient of variation is the best. While the best at the level of bias is the combined, also the best at the level of mean square error in the first domain. In the second one, the model-based estimator is the best also at the total level of mean square error. So, conclusions. This is the first time that official though experimental statistics have been produced by using internet data, I repeat, one of the most important big data sources. These experimental statistics are now available on the ISTAT official site, website. And one of the most important conclusions of this evaluation study is that the accuracy, the quality of these new estimates is not lower than those already produced by the ICT survey. And we can say that if it is not lower, it's in any case convenient because we have also information at the unit level and we can also enrich the information in the business register. So we have two advantages by making use of this internet data. And this experiment has also proved the soundness of this approach. And now we are going to produce new information based on this approach. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Giulio, for this presentation. We are now going to the next presentation. It's from Cristina Pieriacu and Eleni Pisciotti. Cristina has been working in the, she's from the Hellenic Statistical, the Greek Statistical Office, and she's a member of the task force working on the work package one web scrape, web scraping for job vacancies and the work package four. This is what is presented now. She has worked on the analysis of this data and has gained some experience on the classification. And you are doing your presentation together with Eleni.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Albert. And first of all, I have to say that the other authors of this work are Tessa De Wit, Marco Putz, and Anke Constant from Statistics Netherlands. Briefly, my presentation covers the following. I will explain a little bit about automatic identification system data, called AIS data, and focus on some aspects of their quality. Then I'm going to present the method to define a ship's journey and to perform sea traffic analysis. Well, marine traffic has increased exponentially over the last decades. This led to the development of the Automatic Identification System, AIS, through which nearby ships exchange information on their location and status on a frequent basis by means of radio signals. Research on the use of AIS data for official statistics is part of the ESNET Big Data project performed by the Netherlands, Work Package Leader, Greece, Poland, Norway, and Denmark. Originally, AIS is intended to facilitate safety and traffic management. Land-based stations as well as satellites can pick up the signals. Processing of this large data source offering historical and streaming maritime data is still a computational issue. A typical volume of worldwide AIS data represents an estimate of 18 million positions per day. Ships transmit internationally standardized and code data filled via AIS. AIS data consists of different messages, contain different types of information, each with their own unique ID. The information in each AIS messages can be divided into two categories, static and voyage-related information, including information on ship's identity, such as Maritime Mobile Service Identity, MMSI, the International Maritime Organization Number, IMO, and the name of the ship. When investigating the quality of AIS data, it is important to keep in mind that AIS is a radio signal, which means signals are sensitive to meteorological or magnetic factors. The messages are transmitted encoded. As a result, an error in one transmitted byte of the encrypted message could result in an error in one or multiple fields in the decoded message. Moreover, the manually entered variables are not always accurate. Land-based receivers can pick up signals over around 4 sea miles. Finally, there are cases that ships turn off their AIS transponder, resulting in the disappearance of a ship. AIS data could be useful in improving current maritime statistics and compose new ones. We know, for example, the statistics on port visits, meaning the number of ships visiting a port to load or unload goods, are not always complete. Extracting the routes of ships by AIS data, we have all information needed to determine all its port visits and the distance traveled. One of the most promising ideas is using AIS data as a fast economic indicator. AIS could be one of candidates as a proxy for international trade, signaling changes in maritime activities related to international trade and with that to economic developments. All this idea of using AIS data could be combined with powerful visualizations. And now I'm trying to explain a little bit about the algorithm to define a ship journey and the port visits. Building upon the algorithm developed to determine a port visit and calculate the number of ships that have arrived and departed a port using AIS, the journey of the ship could be determined. This algorithm is output-driven and enables us to define the start of the journey and to deal with the noise in the signal. This is initial port visit algorithm processes data from ships in a reference frame of ships derived from AIS data. A reference frame of ships has to be used to filter out existing maritime ships only, since a number of ships which do not actually exist appear due to glitch in the data and non-maritime ships transmit also AIS data. AIS data from these ships is then filtered with a median filter over 10 minutes for latitude, longitude and speed, and in order to reduce the amount of data, enabling faster processing. The algorithm also deals with the noise in the signal. Then, for each data point in this filter selection, the location is categorized as being at sea or in a port. Coordinates of ports have been defined in advance. Using the variables MMSI, time, and location category, the port arrivals and departures are determined by selecting consecutive locations where the category location changes. A port arrival here is defined as a seaport couple and departure by a port sea couple. A successive port arrival and departure and then couple to form a visit interval, resulting in the start and the end of the visit, which can be used to calculate total visit time. Only ships in a port with speed below to 0.2 knots are categorized as visiting the port. The results of this previous algorithm provides an output-driven method to define a journey. The start of the journey is defined as a ship's departure point from a port. The end of the journey is determined in three ways. The ship arrives in another port. Again, the successive couple seaport will signal the arrival in the new port, constituting the end of the journey. The ship's anchors, if this is at sea, this journey will be continued after this, and the ship leaves the area of AIS coverage. Now, using the data from visiting interval, the distance traveled in the port can be calculated. This is calculated using the Haversen function. This function determines the great circle distance between two points on a sphere given their longitudes and latitudes. For drawing maps, several methods are available to project the Earth on a map. In our case, Lambert azimuthal projection was chosen. This projection was implemented in Spark and Scala together with a definition of the grid. The bounded box of the grid was defined and subdivided in a 200 by 200 grid points. Then, all latitudes and longitudes are projected and mapped to the index of the associated grid point. Finally, the latitude and longitude of the grid point is calculated. A method has been developed to calculate the number of ships during a specific time interval at specific coordinates using AIS data. This can be helpful in calculating the intensity of sea traffic for traffic management. The final visualization is made in Sunny combined with Leaflet. Sunny is a web application frame for R with which one can create interactive web application. Leaflet is a JavaScript library for interactive maps we can also be used from R. This visualization, I will try to show you because Marco has prepared something for us. Unfortunately, could you please?
Where is it?
If it doesn't work, it's I have two snapshots, but it would be nice to just to
click on this.
Yes, I do. Okay, thank you.
This?
Yes? Can I?
You want to show it on this screen?
Yes, please. Sorry for this, but it is. It's a powerful visualization. It is just an example that gives insight in more and less busy region in Europe. I hope to. Yes.
Okay.
Probably
it's.
Yes. Okay. It's okay. Yes. It is here. And okay. This visualization gives insights in more and less busy region in Europe. One can choose the date out of an available date list in the bottom, where a slider can be used to select threshold for traffic intensity. Where a slider can be used to select threshold for traffic intensity. Cells with higher traffic intensity than the selection are displayed as dark red, and cells with less intensity as lighter red. Although there is a lot of work already done, further investigation on this promising data source is needed to develop functional production prototypes and to promote and support their implementation at national as well at European level. The algorithm developed here could be further optimized. The results of this analysis can be applied to improve current statistics, port visits, calculate and visualize the intensity of sea traffic, and compose new, like intra-port traffic, detecting disruptions, use AIS as fast economic indicator, and emissions. More information are available at the wiki page of SNET Big Data Work Package 4, and the codes are available at GitHub. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Christina. I suppose that the link still works also on the internet, so if people are interested in taking a look. Okay, good. Okay. Then we come to the next presentation. Jacek Maslankowski will do a presentation on his work in the SNET. Maslak is a researcher and academic teacher at the Department of Business Informatics of the University of Gdansk. And he is consultant to the Statistical Office. He has participated in several work packages of the SNET on web scraping, for example, for enterprise characteristics. And on methodology, he was then writing or coordinating the IT report of the SNET, and what he is going to present now was his work on multi-sources. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I will have a presentation regarding the work package 7, which was multi-sourced, which means that we have tried to combine different multi-sources, and I will just concentrate on the quality issues regarding the different sources. I will not list any detailed indicators, so it will be just a general assessment on different data sources. So the presentation is structured into three parts. In the first part, I will just give you a brief overview of what has been done during the past 2 years regarding the multi-source statistics. Then I will show you some information about quality issues regarding data combining, and I will finish with the conclusion. So I am starting with just a brief overview. There were three domains that were that we had to tackle with regarding the data quality and regarding the data combining. The first domain was a population. You can see here that several countries participated in this domain. And we did a use case on life satisfaction, which will be described later. And I will tell you what is the most important regarding the data sources on population. Then we had a tourism, which was conducted by Polish team and Portuguese team. And the last one was agriculture, which was conducted by Statistics Poland and Statistics Ireland. We had two different approaches. The first one was to combine data sources within domain, which was an intra-domain data combining. And the second approach was to combine data between domains, which was inter-domain data combining. So we did just one case for the inter-domain data combining and several use cases on intra-domain. However, I will just concentrate on the most important for us that will show you what should be, what we should think about when we start to make analysis of big data with different data sources. So the first, data combining and the quality. We had a data combining of, the first was traditional surveys and big data sources. It is still just an experimental statistics, so don't worry, we don't publish the data regarding this two different approaches yet. However, we've got, of course, implementation of the possible examples of combining traditional surveys and big data sources. Big data source is just to support, of course, traditional surveys. Then we had a data data integration of several big data sources. And the most easy part was to combine the data at the output stage. So it was just a data combining of output data. There were several quality issues, but I would like to list the most important for us, which the one was a classification. So I will show you in a few moments example in which the classification is the most crucial, and we have to, of course, prepare a good framework to classify different facts correctly. Then the problem was, of course, with missing data, especially in the tourism domain when you have road sensors traffic data. So missing data is also a problem. And duplicates, which is always when you try to combine different data sources, especially web data sources, you have several different data sources. And unfortunately, some of the observations are the same in different data sources. And it is not so easy, of course, to identify if it is a duplicate or not. So in the population, we combined, in fact, two different data sources. We have tried to combine two different data sources, and I will tell you why. Because we had an idea of developing an indicators on life satisfaction regarding social statistics that is in tune with EU Silk. In EU Silk, you can find the classification of six different sentiments regarding the life satisfaction. Unfortunately, depending on the countries, some of them were not included and some of them were merged. However, the problem is with coverage. I mean that, for instance, if you want to combine two different data sources, the one from Twitter and the second one from Facebook, you've got really different populations. Sometimes, of course, people are more active on Twitter, on Facebook. For instance, I am more active on Twitter than on Facebook. However, I've got these two accounts. So the most important quality issue regarding these data sources, as a big data sources, is a coverage, which usually is under coverage, and it affects the representativeness. The second domain was a tourism, in which was a rather easy case, which was a tourism accommodation establishment. So we have used different data sources, especially various portals, on, of course, tourism accommodation establishments, also international, the well-known you will see later. And the second use case was a border movement, which was a to make an analysis of combining road traffic sensors data, air traffic data, and train traffic data. So the first one was on tourism accommodation establishment, and we had combined four different data sources. We have tried to combine four different data sources, which were TripAdvisor, Agroturistica.pl, then hotels.com and booking.com. The main findings on the quality were that, unfortunately, the classification used by these four different portals is a bit different than the classification in business registers. So the problem is that you cannot, in fact, take the data from these various portals and then put them as the official data for official statistics, because there is a problem. And of course, there is a problem with duplicates, because sometimes the name of the hotel on booking.com is quite different than on any other website, and unfortunately, as a result, we cannot have the a good reliable data. So the problem with data, the data quality issues I told you, is the classifications and duplicates. The next case is on border movement. Unfortunately, this is the most advanced use. This is the most advanced, which is of course good, but unfortunately, there are lots of missing data. For instance, it represents different sensors, road traffic sensors, here, identifiers, for different years since 2005, from 2005 to 2015, and you can see how many data are missing, unfortunately. So we don't have the whole population. Unfortunately, the road authority in Poland is not able to give us more detailed data. I mean that the time series is not full, there are gaps in the data. So the first problem is missing data, and we are using entropy econometrics just to estimate these missing points. The second one is air traffic data, and the third one is train traffic, because we've got also for Polish trains monitoring of the trains crossing the border, for instance. So there were conducted calculations regarding the number of passengers and the number of vehicles, and unfortunately there is the problem with undercoverage, because comparing to expected number of vehicles, there is just 91% of coverage for Czech Republic, for the border between Czech Republic and Poland, for Lithuanian border, German border, and Slovakia border is the worst, only 49%. So there are two issues, quality issues, regarding this part of the regarding this use case. It is coverage and missing data. Now it will be the last, before the last, which is in agriculture domain, which was about crop types identification by Poland and Ireland. The methodology was to process raw satellite images, but it was radar data, because there are lots of clouds usually in Poland, so you could see yesterday, for instance, so we are using radar data. There is a segmentation of process data and object-based image classification, so it is supervised machine learning algorithm. There are three data sources, which are satellite data from Sentinel-1 and 2, combined with the in-situ survey just to train the machine. And the biggest problem, of course, is accuracy, which varies from 80% up to 91%. Now, I will show you the last use case, so I am exactly on time, which was on intra-domain data combining, and it is agritourism, where we combined the data. We have tried to estimate the impact of rural areas on development on agritourism places. So three different data sources were used, the web scraping agritourist logins, then satellite data on agricultural field, just to see the impact on of agricultural fields to developing of agritourism places and land and buildings register on NUTS 5. The following data quality issues were identified. The one was the differences between business register. It is always when you are using big data source. There are some differences between official statistics data and big data sources. And there were some missing address data. So there were three, in fact, problems with coverage, classification, and missing data. And now I will just repeat the so I will give you the overview of the main quality issues. So it was a coverage which affects the representativeness. Missing data is always a problem, the duplication and under versus overestimated data. And for machine learning algorithm, it is accuracy. So the conclusions, three conclusions, is that each data set must have individual set of quality indicators. This is the first thing. We have to, of course, combine something with, we have to do something with machine learning algorithms, for instance, to increase the quality. And of course, always we have to, we need to compare the results from big data analysis with the output data from traditional official statistics, of course, because otherwise you will not know if your algorithms are good or not. So my last 10 seconds is just to say thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Jacek, for your presentation. I forgot to mention, please note down questions that you have. We will ask then questions at the end of the session. Now I will come to the second presentation that deals with AIS data. It's by Michał Bis and Anna Bilska. They are both working at Statistics Poland. Michał is head of the engineering center in the statistical office in Szczecin, and he has been he participated in the work package 4 on AIS data. Anna is the head of the Maritime Statistics Center, also in the statistical office in Szczecin, so she comes from the subject domain. And Eleni is also presenting. I thought you were presenting together with Christina. Okay. Let me see. Eleni is from the Greek statistical office, and she has worked on the analysis and the visualization of the AIS data during the project. Thank you. It's yours.
It is a pleasure for us that we have possibility to present comparison private European AIS data and national public data, Poland and Polish and Hellenic experience. Short agenda. Introduction, AIS basic overview technology, comparison, Polish and Hellenic experience and conclusions.
First introduction. This presentation based on the result of the work big data project related to AIS data. The aim of the work package were to research to use AIS data as potential big data sources for official statistics, next to improve the quality of existing statistics and to produce new statistical products relevant to ESS. Five national statistics institutes participate in this work package: Netherlands, work package leader, Denmark, Greece, Norway, and Poland. After the beginning of this project, we had to decide which level we want to use the data. After the exploring the potential data provider, we decide to use commercial data and European level. Why at European level? Because this level seems to be more practical to produce statistics, for example, movement of ships between European countries, and port visit and analyze ships off route in within all Europe. And in addition, Poland, Greece, and Norway receive the data at national level. And after the preliminary assessment of data, we noticed a lot of noise. And it was that was the basis for to investigate to the quality of data. And maybe, and of course, this is the decision why we decide to compare two data sets between private provider and public provider. The next short overview about AIS, I will try not to repeat information which said Christina. So in a brief overview, AIS is an automatic identification system used on ships to exchange information between ships, between AIS base station and satellites. And the typical, the main purpose of AIS to safe navigation and traffic navigation. So the typical case when we exchange information in real-time information like movements, location, identification between ships in the same area to avoid high risk situation. And we can obtain information about route of ships, and this is very useful for traffic management. AIS works on very high frequency. The position of ships is determined by GPS. The data is transmitted by standard of time division multiple access, and each ship use transponder, which allows to receive and transmit data from all ships in the same area. Technology. One of the aspects or aims of this project was to obtain practical experience in the context of big data and advanced methods. For our cases, we use UNIS sandbox based on Hadoop stacks in order to ensure high performance and scalability. This is the place where we upload the data. First, we had to decode because the raw data in the format NMEA. The data was stored in HDFS and was available to all members of the project. Generally, we use a code developed in Scala and processed by Apache Spark, which is a computing platform. For the presentation AIS data, we use analytics tools like R. And in addition, we investigated the possibility of using and implementing NoSQL database for NoSQL for AIS data. We focus on two tools. The first was Elasticsearch. It's a tool for indexing, searching, and storing data as JSON. And the second is Kibana, is a typical analytic tools. The best benefit of Elasticsearch is that we can store GeoA data in direct in database as latitude and longitude, coordinate pairs, and in Elasticsearch we can search many useful methods based on geo data, for example geo bounding box, geo distance, and geo shape. And one of these methods we use to the process of comparing data between private and public provider, where we set two points, first top left and bottom right. In purpose to define rectangular area. And in result, we receive the number of appearances of each ship based on MMC number. This is an example of query in Elasticsearch. And for this process, comparison data between public and provider, we adapt the common approaches and assumptions. First, we use a reference frame to filter only maritime ships. Then we define time period and area by selecting port. For each port, we determine a rectangular area based on coordinates. And then and in the result, we use the same code developed in Scala. And in the result, we receive the number of distinct ships in certain area and specific time period, and the number of appearances of missed for common data.
In Polish case, we compared private AIS data and public AIS data from maritime authority, as a period we choose 2 days from the 1st to the 10th January 2016, and as according to a common approach, as Michał mentioned, we set points for the main port of in Poland, for port of Świnoujście, Szczecin, Gdańsk and Gdynia, and we received rectangular area. And here we see the port and their localization. Because we have only 12 minutes, we present only part of Świnoujście, and here in the table we have information for 10 days. In the first row we have information from public provider, in the second row from a private provider, and the third row is common data. And as can we see, the unique number of ships is almost the same from the both sources. In the chart, on the chart below, we see information from the common data from the 1st January 2016. In this case, is 11 ships, and horizontally we have these 11 ships, and vertically is number of appearances, dynamic messengers. And we see thus the number of messengers from a public provider is much higher than from a private provider. We analyze a little more information from unit information for ships, ship number 6, marked in red on the graph. And here we have result of our analysis, and this is route of the ship with data positions from both sources, in this case from AIS PL 188 and AIS on European level 11 data position. As we can see, data position from both sources thus don't overlap in longitude and latitude, but is worth noting that the route is preserved.
In the analysis for Greece, we took into account three data sources. Terrestrial data from a public provider, Hellenic Coast Guard, terrestrial data from a private provider, and satellite data from LuxSpace. We compared the data sets referring to the 15th of December 2015. The AIS performance was analyzed in terms of number of ships and the messages per region, tracked by each data set across the whole country and for the ports of for five ports, the ports of Piraeus and Thessaloniki. Piraeus and Thessaloniki were the two largest ports of Greece, and for the ports of Volos, Heraklion, and Patras. The four ports are in the side of the Aegean Sea and one in the side of the Ionian Sea. Firstly, we compare the two terrestrial data sets. As you can see from the table, the number of ships for the port of Piraeus are identical to the two data sets. But, however, for the other four ports, ships were detected only to the public data set, which means that there is a coverage issue in the data from the private provider. In the figure below, the number of messages in the public data set is compared to the private one for the port of Piraeus. The number of messages in the data from the private provider is lower. Thus, it is evident that a filter is applied to reduce the volume of the data. Yet, we have no information about the exact nature of this filtering. Here are two snapshots following a ship's journey across the Aegean Sea and a ship arriving at and departing from the port of Piraeus. Given the geography of Greece, which has more than 2,000 large and smaller islands, most of them located in the Aegean Sea, it becomes clear that the reduction of messages per ship and in the data from the private provider poses difficulties in following the ship's journey. We continued our analysis comparing the satellite data to the data from the public provider. Again, the number of ships in the port of Piraeus are identical in all the data sets. And in the port of Volos, almost the same. In all the other ports, the public provider detected more in the data set of the public provider. There were more ships than the other data sets. In this snapshot, data from private provider and satellite data are depicted for the Mediterranean Sea. It is obvious that satellite data are indispensable when we want to monitor ships in the open sea or in the oceans. And we come into conclusions that in almost all cases, and both in terms of coverage and number of messages, data from public providers and satellites were richer. When data from the private provider does cover a port, these data are sufficient to determine the port visits. However, it is not always sufficient to determine a ship's journey, especially in areas with a capricious geography. The private data source provided filter data from multiple partners with no documentation available, no metadata. Satellite data structurally detects a lower number of ships per port, however, are indispensable to following the route of ships across oceans or on open sea. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for your presentations. And now I'm coming to the last presenter, to David Salgado. He will present methodology for estimating population counts from aggregated mobile phone data.
You have a PDF presentation?
Yeah.
Okay, but you won't be able to see it on the laptop.
David is working at the Department of Methodology and Development for the Statistical Production at Statistics Spain. He's Associate Professor at the Department of Statistics and Operation Research at the Complutense University of Madrid. He has been, Spain is leading the work package on mobile phone data and exploring mobile phone data for official statistics. And within this work package, they developed this methodology for estimating the population. The floor is yours, David.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Albert, for the kind presentation. As you guys, I'm standing here on behalf of the whole work package of mobile phone data, which was formed so that this is then joint work of nine country members providing 2-3 years per country. We have produced 5 deliverables. We have organized 3 meetings, one of them in Luxembourg, gathering in mobile network operators, the main mobile network operators in Europe, and NSIs from the European Statistical System. We have also provided, apart from the website of the general project where you can find all the information for the project, we have also created a specific website for this web package, providing the open source code for 2 our packages that I will present later on. So that you can guess that my goal here is just to present the outline of the project that you feel eager to leave to read the document when you leave the room. This is not going to be a speed session, but I will try to deliver a fast talk, so please don't blink too much. Since there are a lot of details, although I will not enter very much into them. This is an overview of the body of documentation that we have produced. We have produced 5 deliverables. The first 2
have concentrated on different aspects regarding the issue of accessing the data. The first one regarding the then current access in 2016, current status of access to morphone data across the European statistical system. We then, after our experience with negotiations with the mobile network operators and with this international workshop organized in Luxembourg, we produced some guidelines when approaching the MNOs to try to get some access to this data. And since yesterday there was a session already focused on this part of the access, I'm going to concentrate on the last three deliverables. The third one has been concentrated on providing the first elements for a methodological framework to produce official statistics using this big data source. In the fourth deliverable, we have concentrated in some information technology aspects regarding the use of this big data source in producing official statistics. And in the first, in the last, and in the fifth, we have approached some quality aspects regarding derived from this methodological framework, and some considerations regarding the future prospects for the research regarding morphone data within the European statistical system. Apart from these five documents that you can find on the web, we have also produced the minutes for all the meetings. Specifically, I recommend the minutes for the meeting celebrated in Luxembourg, in which you can read the opinion both from the MNO's side and from the European statistical side. Of course, also the GitHub page where you can download the R package that we have developed. I would like to start with a short consultation regarding the big data definition, at least for official statistics. You all are certainly aware that everybody introduces big data with the use of the three V's: volume, variety, and velocity. But our perception is that in big data for official statistics, there are more important features than these three technical aspects, which are that this data refer to third people, not to data holders or data provider. When you ask an MNO to provide the data, it's not their data, it's data from their subscribers. These data are central in their economic activity. They win money with, they earn money with this data. This is not the case when you are asking them about their number of employees, of their turnover. And finally, very importantly, this data lack statistical metadata because they are produced for a very different reason. Curiously enough, if you go to the glossary of terms of UNICE, you can find a wider definition of administrative data, stating that administrative data are indeed the data collected by sources external to statistical offices. This is a first coincidence with administrative data that I will underline later on. Here you have, in a nutshell, a sketch of the whole process to produce an official statistical product based on mobile phone data. You start from the raw telecommunication data produced by the electromagnetic interaction between the antenna and the mobile devices. Then you need some kind of pre-processing to prepare this data for a statistical exploitation, because this raw data cannot be statistically exploited. They are not prepared for them. So you need some kind of pre-processing to prepare a micro data set in which you can begin your statistical analysis. Then you perform some kind of aggregation. Then you arrive at some aggregated data sets, and finally you need some kind of inference exercise connecting this aggregated data with your target population, wherever it is. Here we have another coincidence or another similarity with administrative data. Our statement, our claim is that already developed tools in the administrative data world, like the two-phase life cycle model, and more recent proposal by Reid, Zavala, Holmberg last year, can also be used to understand the generation and the processing of this data within the office. So this is something that we have to offer to the industry that more often network operators are not even aware of. Once we have cleared this process, one of the first objectives is to be able to produce this micro data sets in which you have to go from the original variables collected by the network, which are basically a pseudonymized identification variable, some time attributes, when the subscriber make the call, send an SMS or an MMS, or make an internet connection, or when the mobile device connect to the antenna, just to measure the load of the network. You also have some space attributes. You don't have ever have the exact position of each mobile device. This is something to be derived from the raw data. And then from this, for the statistical exploitation, you need to arrive to concepts like the country of residence, like some anchor points, which, I mean, if some specific location is the home of the subscriber, if it is the work of the subscriber, it is some place in which she or he spends some leisure time. You need to define the usual environment. You need to identify trips. You need to identify a lot of contents from these raw data sets. So there is a lot of pre-processing that you need before your statistical analysis begins. In this analysis, there is a key concept, which is the geolocation of network events. It's assigning spatial attributes to the events, basically to know where the event takes place. I don't want to enter into the details. Basically, there are two characteristics that enter into play here. The first one is that antenna are directional. They have a direction to detect you in a particular in a particular direction. So the original analysis in which there was some tessellation, some foreign noise tessellation, mainly coming from the telecommunication industry, is not sufficient for our statistical purposes. We have to enter these characteristics. We have also with a so-called best serviced area approach. But this is not also enough, because we have another characteristic that the antenna cover cells that there are, that are overlapping, and this again complicates the analysis. And so further work is needed. We have proposed some Bayesian approach. Bayesian approach is important not for fundamental philosophical conceptions regarding the inference, but we have somehow found that it is a natural way to combine different information sources for a specific estimation process. So to say, the micro data sets, and then we have to aggregate this data, and from this aggregated data, then we have to make the connection with the target population. I want to repeat here two provocative statements that I pronounced last name in dissemination workshop in Sofia regarding the use of methods to make this inference process. The first one is directed to those methodologists, statisticians, which are still skeptical to use new inference tools, new for statistical, for official statistics, not new in statistics in general, which is that this statement say that, I claim that the notion of sample representativity, which is one of the main obstacles posed by everyone, the notion of sample representative is mathematical rubbish. The second statement, the second provocative statement, is directed to those computer scientists that reduced the use of big data to produce official statistics to just a matter of aggregation with a very sophisticated IT platform. Is that even when you have the whole target population in your data sets, you need sampling concepts such as bias, variance, mean square error, a more complex one if you want to produce high quality statistical products. Indeed, we have revised the literature and we have discovered that in ecology, ecologists have already solved a very similar problem. They know how to count animals of a given species in a given territory. And they propose to use hierarchical models, indeed rather sophisticated hierarchical model to produce populations and indeed accurate population counts, to produce accurate population counts of the whole population. We have made again an adaptation, a proposal to adapt this model for our case. Again, the Bayesian approach is very suggested because it is a natural way to combine this data, mobile network operator data, with mobile network operators with already existing official data. Now, moving fast from the IT technology, I'm not going to enter into details. A very clear idea is that we will need in the future to install a platform inside the MNO's premises. We have produced two R packages, one for the geolocation of network events and another one for the inference exercise. Regarding the quality issues, we have made a very slight revision of the 15 principles of the code of practice. Basically, there are three key ideas that will affect the code. MNOs will be an active part of the the statistical production process, and this will change things. There will be a change of inferential paradigm if we need to use statistical models. And the higher degree and the unprecedented degree of breakdown in the information that we are going to disseminate will also bring another new ingredients. There are some technical details regarding, for example, the accuracy dimension that you will need to assess the goodness of fees of your model and some other things that we are not used to. This is my final slide. This is the future research. As you probably know, there is an open call for the next SSNet. We will go. We are preparing a proposal to go on with this work. Now the strategy will be different. There will be, on one hand, the question of the access, which is still a hard one. And on the other one, using simulated data, we are going to keep on developing methodology, quality aspects, and some IT software and some IT considerations. Whenever we have the real data for producing official statistics, then we will be ready to produce these new products. Basically, this is all I want to tell you. Thanks for sharing your time.
Thank you, David, for your talk. Now I open the floor for some questions. Sonia?
Good morning. I'm Sonia from Statistical Office in Portugal. Thank you so much, everyone, for your presentations. They were very good and informative. But I have a question. It's in a way a generic question that it would be addressed to all of you. But I would like to have three main points of view that I would address to Giulio, to Jacek, and to David, because they're mainly the same in my point of view. And they have to do with the sustainability of the data sources so that we can evolve to some official product that we want to disseminate every period. Okay, so in Giulio's presentation that I really like and congratulate you and Istat on the results that you got and that were really, really good. But I mean, you have a survey to evaluate the quality of your training data set. How do you see it coming in the future? So when you don't have the survey data, or would you still maintain it, and how do you see it coming? In Jacek's case, of course, I've seen that you have very different quality issues. But I mean, one thing I didn't quite understand, if you think that the problem is with the type of data source, and it could be something structural, or if it has to do with the period, because in that case, if you repeat the exercise quite often, and big data allows you to do that, then you could overcome it. And finally, to David, I'm quite happy to see that you think that having the mobile network operators on board will actually change things. And I know that Eurostat has a big role in this, and I'm thankful also for that. But I was willing to know your opinion on if we think about having some kind of app on the people's mobile phones directly, and I mean, in this way, we would overcome the barriers, and we would not be just in the hands of two or three mobile network operators. We would reach the audience, and I mean, if we learn from the industry, and I think we have to do this, and you can see how Google, for example, in 2 years, having apps targeted to several audiences could reach the people who are using the emails, people who are doing navigation. And I mean, statistical offices, we can target several audiences. We have education, we have agriculture, we have environment, we have everything. So why not do this? Thank you.
Thank you. Another question, probably? Collect some questions. I don't see one, so I would propose to start with answering, starting to answer the question. Would you like to start, David?
Thank you. Regarding the sustainability of the source, I will restrict myself to the case of mobile phone network data, okay? There is a point here, there is an important point here that connects with the kind of data that you are requesting to the MNOs. If you request then only call detail records, for example, I mean, when you are making an active use of your mobile phone, probably you will have problem with your sustainability, and indeed you will have problem to deal with the selection bias. Who knows, probably in the future people will stop making use of making calls and sending messages, and will use another technology. But there are a lot of data inside a network, a telecommunication network. There is key technological element in the network, which is that your mobile device has to connect somehow with an antenna, or with a satellite, or whatever kind of IT platform. This is the kind of data that we have to pursue, because it doesn't mind how you will change your communication pattern. But the technology needs to connect your device with some other. So in this sense, regarding mobile network operators, I think that the sustainability will be for a long time. This is for the first question. Regarding for the development of applications of mobile devices, I completely support that idea. I mean, this is something that the European statistical system should pursue also. but my reading, or one of my partial readings of the trusted smart statistic that Albert presented here, is precisely to close the cycle between users generating data, then we analyze data, we process this data, produce an official statistics. These official statistics are there feeding all these kind of applications that the users make use of, and then produce new data that can fit in the complete system. So for me, that would be a very good idea.
Thank you, Sonia, for this very important remark, because I didn't note this in my presentation. Sustainability of the data sources is really a quality issue, especially when we are dealing with the web data sources. So we are not sure if in the future the same data sources will exist, but there is another aspect: if you trust in the data providers, because there is also it is also connecting with the sustainability. Almost every day we can of course think about adding new data sources, but the problem is also with maintaining different algorithms which we are using for the to gather the data, because unfortunately it may happen almost every day that something can change on the website. Of course, the data providers can block us. So I think that if we want to be if we want to be ensured that the data will exist in the future, I think that we need to have an agreement with the data providers, with the website owners. Otherwise, it may be a big issue for official statistics.
Okay, first, sustainability. I think that this particular source, that is website content, it does not raise problems from this point of view. By the way, we are going to produce the estimates also for this year right now. Next month, we should provide also 2018 estimates. And for something that the current survey does not offer each year, for instance, job online applications or presence in social media are asked just once in a while. Right? And we are guaranteeing a time series each year by offering these estimates. But what about new information for which we have no information from current surveys? This is a very important question. We are going to experiment selection of probabilistic samples of websites that should enable us to have a ground truth for very specific targets, for instance, research and development, enterprises that have research and development in their activities, or industry 4.0, or whatever. So you have new information targets, you select probabilistic samples of a website, you inspect manually these websites, you have safe information, and you can model with the content of the website, and then you can replicate the same approach that I illustrated in our previous experiment. So, you don't need a specific institutional service. You just need something that you can obtain by once in a while, once in 3-4 years, because there is no need to repeat this getting information. So you just once in a while to model, and then you can apply each year.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from the audience?
Albert, can I add? Yes. Regarding the sustainability of data sources in aspect of AIS. In our opinion, it is a very good data sources when we think about produce statistics based on these data sources, because AIS is mandatory to hide a number of ships. This is very important, and AIS is a part of systems, in many cases, national security systems. and we have diversification because we can obtain information from private provider and public provider. So it is a very important when we think about producing new statistics.
Thank you. Some additional questions? I have one question for the AIS data. So you presented then the ship's routes, the generation of the ship routes. You made some quality estimation, made some comparison between different data providers. But what about then, I suppose then if you have this information from the AIS, you have to combine it with your normal transport statistics. Are there issues related to that?
Yes, of course, we did it. The problem is because we can link data, linking data between AIS and maritime survey statistics by using IMO numbers. This number is a part of static data, and this data is inserted by human. So sometimes we have errors, but we develop a code which can deal with these problems. Because we have reference frames. This is a basic table where we have two attributes, MMSC number, this is typical for AIS, and IMO typical for maritime statistics. So we very good key transactions between two data sources.
We actually have done a case, and we try to link the AIS data from the providers with our from our survey, and we think that they it increased the quality of our survey. So with it, the good thing, I think the power of AIS is that you have the unique identifier, and so you are sure that you link the correct. You can link with many. From many data from the statistics that already have statistics, and this will be the power of this data source.
Thank you. So, no question, Giulio. I have a question also to you. You set up this system then in principle for the ICT survey. You mentioned something about innovation as well. How do you see a broader use of such a system of web scraping then?
In general, we are going to use on a massive basis these web scraping techniques in order to, for instance, to enrich the content of the business register. So I'm not talking here of the machine learning techniques, but for instance, information retrieval techniques in order to look for price catalogs or balance sheets, etc. Inside the websites. So we are planning a lot of activities based on web scraping techniques. I repeat, not only to produce estimates as in the case of the ICT, but also, and maybe in the future, it will be the most important task, also to enrich the information in the register in order also to detect the subpopulation in the register and in order to address surveys in a more specific way while knowing more information about this subpopulation. This is the...
Okay, thank you. So now, then I would like to thank all presenters for their contribution. I would like to also point that all the reports of the SNET, so all the results, not only those which were presented here, are available at the wiki of the SNET. So when you search for SNET big data, and then you can download all the reports from the different work packages that have been produced. The SNET is now finishing, or has in principle finished in May. We are producing the last administration reports, and we will continue. We have some very successful use cases. We will continue with the first first implementation of these use cases, that they are or that they will be able to be applied then in different countries, and we will also continue with the exploration of new data sources. I would like to thank you for your participation, and then I would say then enjoy your coffee break.